Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us today. Hope it's going to be an amazing day for you. And joining me in the studio, Dr. Alice Benton. Hey, Alice.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you. And also, Mylon Yurkovich is here. Mylon, happy New Year to you and everybody else. Well, it's
and
not quite
you.
The New Year.
Well, almost. We it's New Year's Eve, so thank you. Yeah. Honor to be
and
here.
Also, Larry Sonnenberg is right here. Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Hey, Steve.
Good to be with you.
Good to be
and
here.
We'll start off with Larry. We'll end with Larry in the program. But Larry, I mean, this is the big one. This is the day that so many people give online. I mean, our online giving really fills up.
It does. It's a real big deal. And it started early this morning, actually. I woke up this morning and looked at my email, and I started getting some email notifications about gifts at about 2 o'clock in the morning, California
wow.
time.
Wow.
So it's people wait till the last minute. It's, some people give only once a year, and so we're just like to be out there in front of them and say, right. Hey, we'd like you to think of us. And people are, and thank you for everybody who's giving.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to do. You just go online, newlife.com. You can give through the app, too. That's another way, right?
That's right. And there's a donate button, and it's pretty simple. And if you don't want to give online, give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE. And I like to make that phone number real easy for you if you don't like to translate the letters and numbers. That's 800-639-5433. And just tell them you want to make a gift. And if you're more apt to write a check, let me give you an address. Your postmark for it to be counted as a donation deductible in the year 2018. Your donation has to be postmarked December 31st. If it's postmarked a day later, we can't give you a tax deductible receipt for 2018. Mail that to New Life at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609.
Well, one of the reasons that we sent folks out in our letter this past week, we gave 10 reasons, and we gave 10 stories. One of my favorite is out of Holton, Maine, where this person said, I stumbled onto the broadcast 3 years ago, experienced more healing than I ever knew I needed. And I hear the same relief and hope in the voice of so many of the callers as you give your wisdom and down-to-earth practicality and humor. I was raised in a toxic faith church that left me powerless to live their Christian life. I felt doomed to an eternity in hell and cried out to God. Gradually, through your voice, I realized he already loved me and died for me. I only had to accept his gift. I could never earn it. Now, that is the kind of evangelism that we love to see happen right here on this broadcast. And you keep us on the air. And please go online right now or put something in the mail and help us stay on the air. Anything else you want to add there, Larry?
Well, Steve, another testimony real quickly is that there was a soldier that just returned from Afghanistan. He said, I wish I had more of your books to give out to soldiers and their wives back home. So many infantry soldiers are touched by honesty and heartbreaking truth of impurity. Mm-hmm. And he says, one man shared he came to Afghanistan to get away from his wife. However, he was invited to our chapel in Kandahar and met the Lord Jesus, was baptized, and started to study the Word of God at an Every Man's Battle study in Afghanistan.
Oh,
I love that.
So a lot of people say that they want to give to ministries that are preaching the gospel. Well, we're preaching it in a different way than just getting up and shouting it at the top of our lungs.
All right, if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Come join us on the program, too. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th. Great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Alice Benton. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to do 2 programs today. We'll do this one live, and then we'll tape another one after this. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. I said we would, and we're going to do that. And so let's go to Jay, Washington, D.C., listens, I believe, on WAVA. Jay, how you doing today?
Hello.
Hi, Jay. What's going on?
Hi. I apologize for the delay. I was calling to get some advice on letting go of past pain. And, to be more specific, I was 12 years old, and I was sexually assaulted. There was no sodomy involved. I was forced to do things by gunpoint. Told absolutely no one. I'm now 42 years old, and I'm starting to have a lot of, past couple of years, I've been dealing with on and off nightmares regarding the situation. And,
okay.
You know, I've told absolutely no one. Okay. I have a twin brother. I have family. The embarrassment wouldn't allow me to, won't allow me to tell them.
Now, you just clarify with us.
A couple months ago.
Have you told your wife? Is she the only person other than us that you've told?
Yes, yeah. Well, she suggested that I go see a therapist.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think my heart was in it because, you know, I kind of wanted to just keep that between her and I.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to take the advice of my wife.
Yeah. And Jay, what's the question for us? I'm so glad that you called us to open up here and let us talk to you about it. But what are you hoping, or what could we help you with? Because I really think your wife cares about you and had you on the right track there. But how could we help you?
I just want to, I got some type of trick to the trade or some type of advice to go back to where it's still, it's just blocked out of my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to, I don't want to think about it anymore.
Mm. Sure. Right. Well, you know, have you listened to our program much before?
Yes, every day.
Mm. Oh, I'm so glad you have. You know, I think one of the tough things is that those things we don't want to deal with anymore, don't want to feel anymore, that crop up, sometimes they kind of lay dormant for a while. I think the bad news is, you know, we got to walk right back through them. We've got to go through it, go into it to resolve it. We can't just ignore it and stay silent. And that's always painful. And so, Mylon, what do you think might be a good first step? Then we'll let Alice take it from there. A good first step in really trying to resolve this, so it's just not, it's not feeling as painful, and maybe one day there is no pain there.
Jay, thank you for calling. I'm very honored at your call. I'm honored that you listen to the show every day. And I so highly respect the fact that your wife wants you to get help and that you're listening to her. It's just phenomenal to me. And I think that's really a beautiful thing that's happening in the midst of this pain. You know, the problem with pain is if we try to block it, that won't work. Blocking pain doesn't work to the point that we can't remember it anymore. That doesn't work in the sense that what happens is it ends up leaking out in other ways. It finds a way to get to the surface, and usually in ways that are not productive or comfortable. Actually, as Steve said just a moment ago, the healing journey for pain is to face it and go back into it. And what happens then is as we face it, but then we do this thing, Jay, called community, where we begin to tell the story of the trauma. It's not just what's happened to you, but it's how it happened. And then your dad left and you were unprotected and you didn't have somebody to be there. And it's how we begin to tell the story in community, and other people love us and they give us the empathy. They cry for us. They enrage and get angry with us. And they're a part of a support team that helps us gradually heal. Pretty soon, that story becomes a testimony somewhere along the line of recovery and healing. And so it has to be done in community where we begin to tell the story and not hold it inside.
But Alice, that's like, you know, I'm sorry for cutting you guys off.
You didn't, yeah, go ahead.
I've and I don't mean to come off or sound stubborn or anything, but the embarrassment and the self-condemnation, I don't think that, you know, like, I've been with my wife for 22 years, and it took me 22 years just to be able to speak with her about it.
Jay, the shame is so heavy inside you. I want you to know I hear that. Shame's a horrible thing to get through.
That summer was like a snowball effect of the worst things that ever happened in my entire life. Like, I lost my grandmother. She was my rock. You know, she got me into church, and she always talked to me about.
I'm going to step in because we hear there were so many losses during that time, including your beloved grandmother, who was also a link to God for you. And all of this is weighing so heavily on you. You're in incredible physical discomfort. As you talk to us, it's even hard to breathe. So you called it, I don't want to sound stubborn, but we understand your hesitation for opening up and telling your story. But we want you to know that we have heard similar tragedies over and over again, and any good clinician will really know how to guide you in a cautious way, but in a way that will lead you to the healing and the freedom that God wants for you. You have incredible courage today to break that mm-hmm. silence with us mm-hmm. here, and God is inviting you into more freedom. And we have a next great step that you can take right here as you stay on the line with us, because we have a network of counselors who are both Christian and many specialize in trauma, even the exact trauma that you went through, Jay. So you've taken the right step here in telling us, and now we can get you set up with someone who specializes in helping you tell the story in order to release the pain. The secrets mm-hmm. keep us sick, Jay, and telling the story frees us.
You know, I think if there's a little formula here, it's first to open up, which you did to your wife. You've opened up to us, so you share it, you talk about it. And, you know, the second thing is that then, not just to say this happened, but I think in a safe way to share the feelings, not just the event, but to share the feelings. And then as you're sharing those feelings, depending on the degree of the trauma, you might need to do some work with somebody that really specializes in dealing with trauma. And that helps you resolve it, get over it, get through it, so you're not feeling it like it happened yesterday. But here's one of the key things that I think is toughest, and that is this. You didn't cause it, but it's your responsibility to not let it control you, not let it destroy you, and actually to make something good come from it. And that's a tough thing to do. Now, I'm going to send you this book that is going to give you so much insight. You and your wife, if you'll read it together, I'm going to send you How We Love, and it's going to help you see how that abuse kind of formed you and kind of molded you into certain ways and how you and your wife got together. And it's going to be such a great insight for you. So you hold on. I'm going to send that to you. But again, you need to go from the sharing of the event to focusing on how do I share the feelings that were there, feelings that are still there, and how do I resolve them. That's the next big, tough step. And that can be done in a group. It can be done in with a counselor. But when it's really tough, it's got to be done with somebody that's trained, licensed, knows what they're doing, and we believe is a really fine Christian that's got their theology straight.
You know, one other thing here is that one of the characteristics of toxic shame is that we own what happened to us,
yeah,
as though we were the wrong ones, yes. We were the bad ones, and we're ashamed to share the story as though we had some responsibility, as though we're flawed, that we're bad. The reality is that somebody harmed us, somebody evil harmed us. We were the victim. We were hurt. And so part of the therapy process is being released from that toxic view of what happened, that I was somehow at fault.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't. I was just a 12-year-old little boy. I was just a little boy. And somebody took advantage of me at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's so many messages that get presented to you that increase your shame, mm-hmm, rather than lessen, mm-hmm, it. And that's, mm-hmm, why it's important. Well, that's why we love doing this broadcast, because if you talk to the wrong person, you're going to walk away with more shame than less. And I feel his brokenness. And I hope and pray that he's going to be on a different path. One of the things we're doing January 25th is Finding Freedom, and we're going to be talking about how do we deal with this kind of stuff so we can be free forever for good. That's what we want to see.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes.
And do you know where that workshop is? It's in Washington, D.C. And you know where Jay was calling from? He was calling from Washington, D.C.
Well, and let's get Jay there.
Hey, if he could get to that, you know, get, mm-hmm, your life back weekend, that new life weekend of finding freedom. Wouldn't that be a phenomenal weekend for him?
Well, we're going to talk to him about that. Maybe somebody, if he can't afford it, they can't, there's a scholarship we can get for them.
Yeah, let's try and make that happen.
That'd be super.
Oh, that's a great idea.
If you want info on it, it's newlife.com. It's Finding Freedom. It's the new life weekend, brand new. First time we'll do it, January the 25th, 2019. Now let's go to Dan from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. NRB is the network where he has viewed this program. Dan, how you doing?
Oh, I'm struggling too, very badly. To make a long story kind of short, I'm in my early 50s, and I've been struggling with... I come from a very, very, very abusive background, from my stepmother, from my stepfather and my real mother. Especially for my mother, it was, it's done a lot of damage to me, and it's really painful for me. And I've been trying to get out of it for about 35, 40 years. I've been a Christian, and Christianity did help me in the fact that, hold on, I'm going to turn down my phone just real quick, hold on.
Okay, all right, no problem.
Christianity did help me with, like, treating other people better. But whenever I became a Christian, I felt also a lot of condemnation and shame and guilt on the inside. and wondering if God was real and all that. And now I'm in my early 50s, and I thought I was coming out of it for a while, and I've been seeing a counselor. And about three years ago, I was trying to make a breakthrough. I thought I was finally coming out of it, and I was going to go for my bachelor's degree and maybe start dating again and other things. And negative thoughts started to attack me, and I thought they were real, and I kind of gave in to them to a degree. Just these negative thoughts saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, or you're not going to get well. And I've seen a therapist, and she was almost as confused as I was. And we do think that there may be some issues of borderline personality disorder going on. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, here's what we want to do. We want to help you find a path that gives you relief, resolution, and a new way to live. Because there is a way. So I'll give you some, we'll talk about some different things that are available, and hopefully one of those is going to help you out of this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Dan. Went to see a counselor over his depression, anxiety, and we were just talking at the break. I'll go ahead and ask it. Dan, was there anything specific that would have caused her to say maybe there's some borderline personality disorder here?
Are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was there anything specific that came up that would cause her to use borderline as part of the diagnosis?
I saw a therapist for 15 years, and she suggested that there was some truth to that. And you know what broke my heart was after I stopped seeing her, in fact, I was seeing her for a while, and things went from bad to worse towards the end. I don't know if it was God or just my higher self or the universe or God telling me, you were seeing the wrong therapist for 15 mm-hmm. years. You should have been seeing someone who was more like a motivational speaker, or it would have been better not to see her at all.
Well, is that all that you've ever done?
After I heard that, my spirit, it really confused me.
Yeah. Well, is all you've ever done
track,
is see that
God isn't leading me?
Is the only thing you've ever done that one therapist?
No, I saw a therapist before her, Steve, for about 4 or 5 years, and she thought we were kind of stuck, too. I know that this is an easy situation. I'm very, very deeply hurt and deeply shame-based, and my IQ's pretty high, so I just wonder if I talk myself into problems, you know?
Well,
I just
okay.
don't know what's going on.
Well, let's talk to Alice first and see what she's thinking as you're describing all this. Alice, what are your thoughts?
Thank you.
Dan, hearing that you have seen both these therapists but weren't very satisfied, at least at times, with the work they did, but you stuck with them for many years. Mm-hmm. It's a little surprising.
Yeah,
it stands
out. They did offer some things, like a good. We had a good rapport, real good rapport.
And so, of course, there were good things you got from the work you did with them. How long ago was the last time you were consistently working with a therapist?
Oh, I quit my last therapist about a year and a half ago. And I didn't really want to. It was like God or something was telling me, whatever you do, it's kind of too late. You're kind of doomed right now.
Okay.
Because something happened to me a couple years ago that said, you know what, you're past the point of no return now. So I saw a therapist after that, though I still forced myself to go. And she was a Christian therapist, and she sent me to some other place. And she sent me to a non-Christian place.
Okay.
She says, well, they deal with this and that and medication. And then that didn't seem satisfied, so now I'm seeing another therapist now.
Okay.
And
Dan, how frustrating that you have tried over and over again over more than 20 years span of time, it sounds like.
Oh, it's affected my faith in God.
Dan, outside of seeing the therapist, my concern is how much you're interacting with peers, especially other men who are of faith. To hear that you have these self-condemning thoughts, these beliefs that it's all over, there's nothing more for you to do, you're under some spiritual attack.
So Dan,
I want to give you some advice so that we can help you here. There's more to say. Of course, there's more to say. You're under spiritual attack as well as dealing with the intense abuse from your family of origin. So a couple different things for you to consider. One is, in between the times that you're seeing the therapist, I hope you're in close contact with other men that you can reach out to, even with just a text or a phone call on a regular basis, to say, this is the thought I'm struggling with today. Confessing that thought, bringing it to the light. I'm thinking about Romans 12, too, where we're told, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We do that in community. And sometimes weekly therapy is not enough to help change these patterns within us. Dan, I'm also thinking, I wonder if you've ever tried medication. Because when we've been through the kind of intense trauma that you have been through and years of struggling with these symptoms and therapy has not been enough, it may be time to consider what sort of chemical imbalance is going on in your mind, in your brain, that would be aided by medication. So I want you to think about those two things and add them to your regimen of what you're doing to heal.
Well, the other thing is, you know, we've had Dr. Amen on the broadcast, and he's got a program on PBS right now on feeling better very quickly. And he talks about the value of supplements, the value of exercise, of talking to yourself in positive ways, meditation, and then diet, another thing. And if you start to do these things, you know, and even if you don't take medication, all of these things come together and provide a powerful force. But, I just hope and pray that anybody listening, and you've been going to a therapist 15 years and you're not getting any kind of result, there has to be a better way. Mylon, any final comment you want to make before we go on?
Yeah, I do. People that have been abused in their family of origin by their mother and a stepfather, that abuse runs deep, and it affects the way the brain is wired. It actually creates a negative circuitry in the brain, and so the child begins to develop a very shame-based starting point for their life. And Dan is walking with that shame base still alive and well on the inside. And I agree with you, Alice. There is an enemy that really wants to take him to negative places. Mm-hmm. But we have to stop and ask ourselves, whose voice is it that I'm listening mm-hmm. to? Where is this voice coming from? Is it, do I attribute it to God, or do I stop and say, no, this is the ugly voice of my mom and stepdad speaking through decades to me? And sometimes a group, a trauma group, or people that are trained in trauma can reflect to me, whose voice is that? And make me stop and think about that.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And again, I just want to encourage folks that, you know, life can get better. It can get a lot better. There are a lot of options that we didn't have years ago. And, you know, anybody that struggles with chronic depression and you're not, I'm just going to say this, and you're not finding a way to move your body for at least 10 minutes a day. The reason I say 10, everybody's got 10 minutes. And when you set aside those 10, they often become 20 or 30 later on. But it's just 10 minutes. And then looking at some of the things that give you great pleasure when you eat them, but they produce a downside. And you have to look at the drinking issue. All of these things, but it's not easy, but you need a program, and you've got to have that program, and you need people, not you in isolation, but you in a group, a supportive group. All of those things together can really make a huge, huge difference. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Also, that's the number if you can help us, but let's go back to the phones. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Marie, Huntington Beach, California, KKLA. Hi there.
Hi. I have a 24-year-old son who just graduated from college, and I just recently my son and my mom came over for Christmas, and my son had a substantial weight gain. And my mom brought over two steaks for him and two steaks for my daughter and two steaks for herself. And I just wanted to find out how my mom, I tried to tell her that my son has an addiction to marijuana, and she's in total denial about it. But how do I address her enabling my son to with him, with the food, with him gaining weight? How do I address her about this? Because I'm very upset, and my daughter, she went with my son to an arcade place, and my son was sweating just playing the games at the arcade place. So it's affecting my daughter as well. And I'm very angry and upset that she's doing this. And so that's why I'm calling.
But here's the thing. It seems to me that a steak at this one time or another is much less damaging than him not being motivated or inspired or accompanied to something that would change everything in his life. And I'm wondering about the discussions with him on the positive change front versus trying to get everybody to react to him and not do this or not do that in order to try to be helpful. Are you having those discussions? Is he doing anything? Is he willing to do anything?
I tried to address the weight problem with him, and he got he didn't say anything, but then he told my daughter he got really angry with me because I told him I was worried about his health and possibly having a heart attack because heart attacks run in his dad's side of the family. So he got really angry with me, and my daughter's just like, I told you he would get upset, and she's just like, don't ever address his weight ever again, like, because it's just going to make him mad at you. So I haven't said anything, but it's just I don't know. I mean, just to see my mom bring over two steaks for him and then have us cook it up for him, it's just like can you kind of see
what I'm getting at here is that it might be a peripheral issue. What you want is you want to have a son that says, hey, and when you come, I'm eating all vegetables now and I don't want a steak or something like that. You got a lot of people doing nothing really good for him and being told not to do things. Mylon, what are your thoughts here when you hear this? What do you think?
Well, I would expect a person to get angry. It sounds like there's a lot of anger in your family, and that's one of the things that all of you do. You're angry, and I appreciate that and respect it, but I'm just saying he's angry that he was confronted, and your daughter is protective and defensive and codependent to not want to make that happen again. So everybody's afraid to poke the bear. You know, everybody's afraid to say what's true. And so I think the ability to have an honest, slowed down conversation with your son sometime at a special time where you say to him, you know, I haven't seen you in a while because you're at college and I'm concerned about the weight gain and it's noticeable. And what do you think? Tell me about it. The role that food plays. Just tell me what's going on with you, because there's evidently something driving that. And for many of us, food is comforting. Food is something that makes our anxiety go away. It's how we solve our internal distress. And I would want to have an honest talk with him as opposed to talking to your mother about the steak. I would sit down with him and get right down to saying, you know, what do you think's going on and how can we address that? So it would be a loving appeal rather than the heart attack question, of course, is an issue, but I would not make it that. I would make it the other question. What's really going on here? What's going on inside you?
In fact is, you know, most guys his age they're not really concerned about a heart attack at age 24. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
I have a really strange relationship with him, and he doesn't talk to me because of the fact I had to kick him out when he was 20. And the only way I get information, I know that his girlfriend just moved out, and she was cooking for him and a lot of food because she didn't want other women looking at him. So she was like feeding him a lot of food, but she's not living with him now. I only get information through my daughter because my son, we have a very strained relationship because I had to kick him out when he was 20. So he doesn't want to talk.
Well, real quick, let's hear from Alice what she thinks might be your best bet to help him. What do you think, Alice?
Gosh, Marie, you're in a very difficult position, and of course you love your son and you're worried about him. So we understand and we have compassion for you. What I'm about to propose is pretty tough, and it's going to sound unfair, but it's a humble approach that's very powerful. And this comes from Matthew 7:5, where we look at ourselves first before we point out the problems, errors in other people. So in addition to what Mylan advised you, I would have you go to your son and tell him, I know I've done some things that have really annoyed you, have frustrated you, have angered you. Would you tell me how it has affected you, whether it was me asking about your weight the other day or even that I had to kick you out of the house when you were 20 years old? I don't think we've ever really gotten past that. Mm-hmm. And son, I want to give you a chance to tell me what that's been like for you. Marie, this is not to say that what you did was wrong, because you may have done exactly the right thing by kicking him out. It may have been the most loving thing. But now to possibly reestablish relationship, it's going to take that humble invitation. And the same thing may very well work with your mother. To let her know, Mom, gosh, what I'm doing with my son, it's not working to keep good relationship with him. I'm worried about him. Mom, would you pray with me that God would guide us of how we can best serve my son together? Because I know you love him like I love him. And I wonder if that would open your mom up to a broader conversation about your son.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is an invitation to something healthy with him. And whether that's going to hear somebody talk about weight, or it's going to a Weight Watchers meeting, Overcomers, Overeaters Anonymous, I think you have to dig in there and risk rejection and anger, and bring somebody else and that cares and loves him, and so that, because somebody can get through, and when you do, you become his hero, because nobody really wants to go through life overweight and all that brings about.
You know, Alice, I've done that with my adult kids.
Hmm. What have you done?
Precisely that. What Alice said. I, with every one of my kids, and I did it even recently. I was gone for a weekend with my two sons that I hadn't been with in a while. And I, throughout the weekend, one of the times we were talking and we had some transparent times, and I said, is there anything unresolved with you guys that you need to talk to me about? Is there anything I've done anywhere in your lifetime that's been hurtful, harmful, painful, that is maybe unaddressed that you would like to address? And over the years, I've done that with my kids, and it's amazing the healing effect of that. I remember doing it once with one of my sons, and we were having coffee, and it turned into a two-hour coffee time because he ran off with half a dozen things from his childhood that were still really bugging him. And we were able to clarify that and create a new agreement for adult friendship. And I love your suggestion to her.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm going to send you the Restoration Bible. It is a path to change, to healing. If he would just do what this acronym RESTORE tells you to do, he'd change his life. He would get better. We'll give you some info also on the New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom, on the 25th. And I'm going to send you the eating book.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. There are a lot of resources for you that to go into this brand new year, and none better than the Restoration Bible. There's something so great about writing in your Bible, handing it down to your kids, you going back years later to see what you were looking at, what God was revealing to you through His Word. We've got that, the Life Recovery Bible. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us get one in your hands. Now, I want you to hold on if you're on the line, or you could join us at 1-800-229-3000. But this will be the final call on this hour, and then the others we'll take right after the top of the hour. But Karen, San Francisco, listens on the app. New Life has an app there. You go to the App Store, you can get it. Hear us anytime. Hey, Karen, what's on your mind today?
Hi. So my question is, I'll start with that and then I'll give you background, is how do I focus on my own healing when I am living with the source of my trauma?
Okay.
And so I've been married for, it's going to be 23 years and a couple of days, to a man who was diagnosed with Asperger's last year, and I diagnosed him about 3 years ago, figuring out, you know, that there were a lot of red flags and what was going on.
Yeah.
And we've been in and out of therapy for about 16 years with no progress on his side. And so I've been feeling a lot of emotional neglect from him. And then also in my childhood, I too was raised by my mom and my stepfather, who were both alcoholics, and there was physical abuse amongst them, and emotional neglect there as well.
Okay.
And then recently, I kind of hit bottom, and I found myself a psychiatrist and a therapist, and so I've been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and complex PTSD.
Okay. So what's the question for us? Try to give you some help.
How do I focus on my own healing when I'm living with the source of my trauma, which is my husband? Mm-hmm. And is it biblically wrong for me to leave him?
Okay. Mylon, I want to get us started here.
Well, it's interesting. Asperger's is a condition in which a person doesn't know how to connect well. They don't know how to look. They don't recognize others well. There's a social awkwardness, and relationally, they can have a very hard time seeing you, and you weren't seen as a child. And so I understand your frustration, and it would be very difficult for you to feel as though you're emotionally neglected. So I empathize with that, Karen. I have a question for you on this. How angry do you get at him?
I get very angry.
Okay.
Very angry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my advice would be that your anger is just further shutting down what might be the hint of potential for him to improve. Because every time you get angry, any little bit of improvement or anything he learned in therapy about even manually talking to you and following a list of questions and learning to look at you, all of that is going to be thwarted by anger. And for you to be angry at him is understandable, especially with your history, except for the fact that he doesn't have the capacity to see other well, other being you. He doesn't see others well, and is, and so on. And I'm just suggesting that part of the solution would be to not be as angry at him, because it's not helping your cause.
And yes, Alice, I'm going to ask for a quick comment because we're just out of time here. But Alice, do you have a quick comment that might help her on this path? I think Mylon's got her on the right track. The acceptance and a lack of anger on her part through getting some pretty major help. Anything you want to add to that?
Sure, Steve. A couple quick thoughts. Karen, I'd have you challenge that statement that he is the source of your trauma. I would probably agree that he may be the source of some of your trauma, but it seems like you're giving him a lot of the weight and responsibility, even yeah. though your parents put you through so much. Mm-hmm. So separating that out, and as I say separating, you may need to separate yourself from him to a certain extent, even if you remain married, be able to protect yourself emotionally from him. I've not yet heard biblical basis for divorce in what you have described, because the Bible delineates that if there's abandonment by an unbelieving spouse or if there's infidelity, that's when we have permission to pursue divorce. But there are many different ways to separate yourself physically and emotionally within the same home, especially when your husband is being toxic. So it may mean getting out of the same room, getting away from him if he's abusing you verbally or emotionally. It may mean setting up more of an active life apart from him if he's not willing to see what he's doing and make changes. But then I also wonder, he's been participating in therapy off and on with you for 16 years. He yeah. may not know how serious this has gotten for you. So I'd ask you to please let him know that you're at the point of considering leaving him. It's that serious. That may help motivate him to make some real changes for you.
Well, I want to say this. She asked a question, is it okay to leave? No, it's not. And you can imagine whatever little thing you have, or huge thing you have in life, if somebody hates that part of you, and it's so much of you, and they remind you how much they hate that every day, it's just going to get worse and worse. So two people trying to understand the syndrome and the symptoms better, one trying to accept the other trying to learn some things that they do not know. There are books that literally teach you how to see things you cannot see if you have Asperger's. And there are support groups for both the Aspie and for the spouse. I just think, you guys, there's a different path that will lead you to working together rather than feeling like you're working against each other in this. And I'm going to send you, take your life back. It really gets you out of that reactive mode. I think that's going to help you a great deal. I hope so. We are just about out of time. I have to remind you quickly of the New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom, January the 25th. It could really help you if you'll come. Mylon and I will be doing the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive, February the 15th. It's a powerful weekend, and we've seen dramatic change take place. It's one of the greatest things that we do here. And then Every Man's Battle is every month. Larry, you're back in the studio. Let's remind people, this is the last day. Online giving, this is the day to go online, give, or drop something in the mail. Help encourage them to do it. And if we've got time, I'll read you a little email I just got.
Well, first thing I want to do is say thank you as quickly as I can before for everybody who has given this year and for those of you giving today. God bless you for that. It's going to make a difference in a lot of lives. You know, there are, like you said earlier, we gave 10 reasons why people can give. There's not time to go through those, but if you want those 10 reasons, give us a call. I'd like to go through those with you. I'd love to hear the email you got from Mary, Steve.
Well, it says, I want to thank the entire staff of New Life. You understand when no one else does. You're professional and led by the Holy Spirit to use your gifts to help others. My personal testimony, which I've shared with many others, is that you helped save my life. At the lowest point in my life, you gave me a lifeline to hold on to. The hope and love and genuine caring helped me get out of the pit and onto solid ground. I was able to go forward and not look back. Your counsel and teaching are powerful and very well orchestrated. Thank you, New Life. And the thank you, Lord, for the gift of New Life to help my light continue to shine. When you support us, That's what you're supporting. It's a ministry of transformation. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go online, newlife.com. Download the app. There's a gift button right there. Send us whatever you can. Help us stay on the air. We need your help. We love getting to do this. Thank you, Alice, Larry, and Mylon. 1-800-229-3000 to join us for the next program.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.